preparation for this morning's sermon, Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, if you'd please be turning there in your Bibles, to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose or the stream broke against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. And the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house upon the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
It's good to be back. In case you may not have known, I've been gone for 2 weeks. You probably didn't miss me. I know David filled in very admirably for me, and I do appreciate that. It was good to get back to the Midwest. Particularly good to see Jerry and Judy Kendall and to report that they are doing well. And I think what was special to me, and I think David and Kim would probably agree, was that it was really encouraging for us to see them involved in a congregation that truly loved them, that truly appreciated all of the hard work that Jerry and Judy put into their ministry there in Lamar, Missouri. So it was very good to see them. And as I mentioned in class this morning, they wanted to make sure that I expressed their love and gratitude to everyone here for the support that we give them. But more important than that, the prayers that we offer on their behalf as well. So it was good to see them, but as always, when you're away, it's always good to be back. We are in the process of looking at a few of the red letter questions that were posed by Jesus. And we use the term red letter questions because if you have a red letter Bible, guess what? These questions are in red. And Jesus used questions to really penetrate the heart of those who were listening, to encourage them to take a look at their life and to be able to answer that question very honestly. We talked 3 weeks ago about the question that Jesus posed, and who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And that, of course, he asked to Peter, and the disciples were there with him. So I thought I would follow it up this morning with this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, I read that the two most important days of your life are the day that you were born and the day that you understand why you were born. And we as God's people, we as God's creation, all of us, we're born to glorify God with our lives. You see, that's our purpose. That's why we're here. But there are those who believe in religious groups that one can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but yet obeying Him as Lord of their life is something optional. You can do it when and if you feel like it. But that was never God's intent. And Jesus uses this passage very specifically to deal with that issue. Who is Lord of your life? And Lord is defined as being master or ruler. And how can you possibly call someone your master or the ruler of your life if you don't do what they say? And that's the penetrating question that Jesus was asking. So to help us understand this and put it into context, I want us to look at a couple things. First of all, as Jesus is teaching this, he is using two different examples to help bring this into focus into the lives of the people that were listening. And in that, he explains why we struggle so much with living our lives in complete submission, not partial submission, but in complete submission to him as Lord of our lives. And he uses an agricultural example, first of all, and then he uses an architectural example to bring this all into focus so that we can better understand what he's referring to. So I want us to look at this passage that precedes or is just before the passage that we just read. And we're going to look at that in Luke chapter 6. This time we're going to be looking at verses 43 through 46. So turn over there with me, if you would, please. And by the way, if you don't have the bulletin in front of you, I'm not sure why you don't, because you can't miss it. When Shelley prepared the bulletin yesterday morning, she had her two little grandkids with her, and she said to Justin, what color do you want the bulletin to be? He likes green. I was telling Vita that I think we could read this in the dark. And it's that bright. But I say all that to say we have an outline available for you about the lesson that we're going to be talking about. It's a fill-in-the-blank. So if you have a pencil or pen or you care to, I would encourage you to open it up as we, again, examine this very important, critical question in the life of God's people. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So the first illustration we're going to look at is Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus sets up this question by talking about how agriculture works. And you don't have to be a farmer to understand how agriculture works. You go over and see Loretta. Let's say Loretta invites you over to play a hot game of Mexican train. And you notice at Loretta's house, she has the very front, she has a gigantic oak tree. It's a big oak tree, and underneath an oak tree, nothing really grows because the oak tree itself is so mammoth, you can't grow grass or anything. But what an oak tree does grow is acorns. Thousands and thousands of acorns. And the squirrels love them because that's what they eat. That's what they store away for a rainy day, acorns. Now, what if tomorrow morning Loretta goes out front and she sees on her oak tree apples? Would she be shocked? Of course she would be shocked. Why? Because oak trees produce acorns. Apple trees produce apples. They by nature produce what they are made of. They produce what by nature they are. If you are a person in love with God, and each and every day your passion in your life is to please Him, to live your life according to how God wants you to live your life, then your words, your thoughts, your actions are going to react to that. They're going to be displayed by what's in your heart. Conversely, if your passion tends to lean more towards self, then your actions, your words, your thoughts will indicate that as well, because you will produce by what nature you are. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And Jesus summarizes this by saying this. For out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What you love the most, what's most important to you, what your passion is, will be revealed in your words and in your actions. If we find ourselves constantly angry, if we find ourselves constantly thinking about negative things, if we find ourselves constantly grumbling and complaining because things just don't seem to be going our way, the problem is not with the world around us. The problem is not that you can't find a parking place at Walmart. The problem is in the heart. The problem is within. Because what we are most in love with will most often be revealed in our words or actions in deference to what's going on around us. It doesn't make a difference what's going on around us if we have that love for the Lord and He is the most important thing in our life. It will permeate anything else that's going around us. So while our natural response to the question that Jesus is asking is to try to control our actions, the more effective way is to control what's inside of us. Because what is going on inside produces what's going on outside. And if we take care of the inside, the outside is going to take care of itself. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want us to look at a passage here beginning in verse 21. And Jesus is talking about the tree and its proper fruit. But then he ends with this very bold, very critical statement to the lives of his people. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evil doers. That's some pretty impressive things that these individuals were doing, wasn't it? I mean, they were able to drive out demons. They were performing miracles. They were prophesying. So while on the outside, they looked very impressive, didn't they? But inside, their inside was not right with God. And because of that, he said, I don't even know you. Away from me. But you know, that can happen to us as well. There are people out there who might be able to fool some with their behavior. They may look great when they're here on Sunday morning. But what about when they leave here? What about what's working on inside of them? You see, that's what God sees. That's what He's looking for. We might be able to fool other people with our behavior, but we can never fool God, because He knows what's on the heart. He knows who we are. And while our outside actions do matter to God, Jesus was continually stressing that our efforts need to be more changing the inside than the outside. Whenever we find ourselves struggling with our thoughts or our actions, the first place we need to look is inside. How is my relationship with God coming? How is He really first in my life? Is He my passion, or am I? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The key is to continue to thoroughly enjoy to thoroughly embrace the fact that once we were lost and now we're saved. That God has called us for a specific purpose to glorify Him through our lives and to show Jesus Christ to the world around us. That's what He's called us to do, and there is no greater calling that any man has on this earth than that. You will never be greater. You will never be greater than the day you became a child of God. Because there's nothing greater than that. And that is what He's created us to be. So Jesus' second illustration, after talking about agriculture, is He talks about architecture. And again, let's read Luke chapter 6, beginning in 46 and through verse 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground, some translations say in the sand, without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. We know very well, without the proper foundation, even the most beautiful house is in danger. And notice that Jesus doesn't say if the storms come, or maybe the storms will come. He says when storms come. They're inevitable. You know, we see that in our lives, don't we? It's not all smooth sailing. We have torrents that come up to test our faith. But the best time for us to prepare for these storms that will come is before they show up. One of the things that we noticed in the Midwest is that they prepare for storms. They have storms back there. We have raindrops. They have storms. They have thunderstorms. They have lightning storms. They have all kinds of storms going on. In fact, while we were there Sunday night before we flew out Monday morning, there we were treated to a tornado warning about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're not used to that here in California, but they are. And they don't wait until the tornado gets there to sound the warning. They're prepared for it. That's the way God wants us to prepare our lives, to be prepared for the storm. And the way that we do that is set Jesus Christ as the foundation of our life. We built that foundation on a rock of Christ. So when the storm comes, we will stand firm. It's critical to storm foundation, to storm foundation to be built on that solid rock. And of course, the foundation Jesus is referring to in this passage that we read is Christ Himself, to His teachings and our identity that we find in Him. And it takes Him to get us through those things, and it takes our desire, effort, and focus on Him to build that foundation. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a continual process. Every day, as we talked about this morning in class, we get up out of bed and we deny ourselves and we take on Christ. We remember that we are a new creature. We are His. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is the ruler of our life. Apostle John wrote similar instructions in 1 John chapter 2. Let's turn over there quickly, if you would. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are His. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Christ did. We see a very strong word here, a liar. If we say we know Jesus, but we don't do what He says, then we really don't know who He is. And we are a liar not only to ourselves, but to God as well. And these kinds of people are rampant across our nation today. They're spiritual followers of Jesus, they claim, but they don't do what He said. James said in James chapter 2, beginning verse 18, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that." And shudder. It is our faith and our love for God, our dedication to Jesus Christ, that causes us to do what we do. Not because we're forced to, but because we choose to, because of the love He has for us and the love we have for Him. So, having said all that, how do we go about making sure that Jesus is in fact the Lord of our lives? Let me give you four practical reasons. These are my four. You can add to them. I'm sure you have some of your own. But the first thing I was thinking about is it's important that we know the teachings of Jesus. We got to understand what He's saying to us. What words of wisdom they're imparting to help us live the kind of life He wants us to live. And we need to read God's Word daily. And we know that. But not just read it. We need to meditate on it. As I mentioned before, it's one thing to simply go through your Bible and say, I'm going to read a chapter today and read it and I'm done and go on to the next task at hand. But to really look at a passage and ask God, God, what is it that you want me to take from this passage and apply to my life to make me more like Jesus? And you know what? His Spirit in you will help you accomplish that.
Amen.
Meditate on God's Word. How can it help me? 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a passage we all understand, but it tells us that God's Word is not primarily for our information, but God's Word is given to us for our transformation. Not for our information only, it's for our transformation to become more like Christ. To transform us to be the kind of person He wants us to be. We need to know the teachings of Jesus if we're truly going to be able to call Him Lord. Second thing, establish a foundation of delighting in Jesus. I picked the word delighting because it's a word that we don't use very much. What is it that you delight? What is it that you enjoy? What is it that you rejoice in every day? What better to rejoice in than Jesus? And to remember that God is so very good to me. You go up to Vita Madison, you ask her how she's doing. And it doesn't matter how she's doing because she says the same thing. God is so good to me. And I have seen that in the lives of so many of you. In times of stress, in times of loneliness, in times of loss, you have been able to overcome that by exemplifying in your life that principle. No matter what's happening to you outside, remembering that God is so very good to me, and delight in all of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And if we establish that as a foundation, then when anything else comes into play, it is like Teflon. It just doesn't stick, because we're delighting in our Lord. So we need to establish a firm foundation in delighting in Jesus. The third thing I was thinking about, and this is so important, determine in your very being that God's plan for your life is always better than your plan. You know, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But yet we struggle with that. We know about God's wisdom being so much greater than ours. And that wisdom transforms into a plan for us. And His plan for our life, no matter what you think may be going on, is always better than our plan. And He always has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. It doesn't change. We need to know that. We need to believe that in the very core of our being. It needs to be our character. And the last thing I was thinking about, surround yourself with Christians who are seeking after God's desire for their lives in everything. Why do we have game night? Just to give Kim Bauer something to do? So that Loretta can win a Mexican train once again? No. We do it for the fellowship that we have one with another. It's that synergy that we receive when we all gather together, people of like faith, whose sole purpose is to live according to God's will and to reach heaven. It's that belief, it's that fellowship, it's that energy, it's that excitement that rubs off on us. Why do the ladies go to Ladies' Day yesterday? Why do we have men's breakfast on Thursday morning? To eat at Tom's? Eating at Tom's has nothing to do with why we're there. Why we're there is the fellowship with one another. It's the iron sharpens iron. And you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it more often. Let's do it outside of these four walls. Let's do it around our dining room table. Got a lot of good cooks out there. That's why God calls us to be hospitable. To show the love we have for one another, because it is contagious. And it strengthens us. And it bonds us in such a way that nothing else will. Because we know then that if I need a prayer from someone, I can call Russell, and he's not going to say, "Oh, that's Roy on the phone again. What does he want now?" He knows the power of prayer. And He knows how much we love each other. And He will pray for me in earnest because of that bond that we have. And each and every one of us should have that kind of relationship. That's what God calls us to do. We need to surround ourselves with Christians who are seeking after God's desire for their lives in everything. And it will rub off on us. These four steps lay a great foundation that will carry us through the storms of life and help us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. You know, we saw this very principle in effect in the national news a couple years ago. It had to do with someone by the name of Tony Weekly Jr. It was in national news. You may or may not remember this. But he was a truck driver that was driving his semi-truck, as he'd done for many, many years. And he was driving along, and he was talking on his hands-free phone when he reached down to get a drink that was on the floor. And that split second momentary distraction caused him to run into the back of a van that was driven by Jameson and Catherine Pals, P-A-L-S, along with their three young children, all of which were killed. They were soon to leave for Japan to become Christian missionaries. It was a tragic event. At his hearing, at the sentencing, Cedric Pals, the father of Jameson and the grandfather of the three young children, spoke and asked the judge to show mercy on Mr. Weekly. But then he turned to Mr. Weekly and he said this: "I struggle to find the words to describe the grief that grips me. I know how much God has forgiven me. How can I not then forgive you?" That kind of reaction to such a horrible, tragic event can only come from a family who has laid for their lives the foundation of Jesus Christ and his teachings. Amen. A family who can truly say, "He is Lord of my life. He is my master. He is my ruler. And I don't say it with just words. I say it with my life. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" That's a question we need to ask ourselves every day, as we, his children, strive earnestly to be the kind of people that he wants us to be. If you're here this morning, we can help you in your life. We want to do that. That's what we're here for, to worship our God and to empower and strengthen each other by our love, our presence, and our prayers. If we can help you with that, if you've not yet become a child of God and need to be baptized into Christ, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. That's the only way that you can begin to call him Lord, Lord. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.